Amen. If you have your Bibles, you may turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 through to 23. Last week we were on the Gold Coast and we went to church there. And they didn't really have a communion service. What they do there, I understand, is they have, they set communion kits out there in different places, and people just go and help themselves. And Danielle and I went out, and we got ourselves some bread and a cup, and we just had our communion together. And as we did that, the Lord really spoke to me, and He said, "This is the year of all." A-L-L. Just that little word. Say all. All is a small world, but there's no plural to all. There's no alls, is there? Because all is that's everything. And let's have a look at the scripture there. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 21. "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours." Did you notice that? All things are yours. Say that with me. All things are yours. I mean, that is a small little phrase, but that's pretty powerful. I don't think I understand really what that's saying. I read it, I believe it. When the Bible says all things are yours, that's pretty amazing stuff. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, which is Peter, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Another scripture I want to look at as well is in John 16. This is Jesus speaking in verse 14 and 15. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." And then he said, "All things," everyone say all things. "All things that the Father has," Jesus said, "they're mine." You think about everything that God has. Well, God has everything. And then Jesus didn't say, "Well, what I have is God's." No, he said, "All things that the Father has, actually, in the new covenant, it's mine. And therefore, I said to you that the Holy Spirit will take of what is mine," which we know are all things that God has, "and he will declare it to you." In other words, he will reveal it to you. He'll disclose to you what those things are so you can have them, so you can see them operate in your life. Unless the Holy Spirit reveals to me what Jesus has made available to me, I cannot use it. I cannot have it. It is out of my understanding. I need revelation knowledge to be able to receive the things that God has, because it's in a different realm. And Jesus said, "All things that the Father has, they're mine and they are for you." Another scripture says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, it says that his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that is the word that God's given me for this year. I really believe that this is a year of all. You know, we've had maybe a measure of some things happening. We've seen some breakthroughs. But God wants to give you total breakthrough in this year. We've had maybe a few victories. But this year, I believe it's God's will that you begin to experience complete victory. Amen. We've had maybe a measure of prosperity. But I believe abundance is what's coming in this year for you. Not where you go from one crisis to another and God bails you out, but where you live in a constant flow of His abundant supply. all your needs met according to his riches in glory. Not some, but all. And this is the word of the Lord for us. And Psalms 103, verse 2 and 3, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Say all. God wants you to remember not just some of his benefits, but all of his benefits. Of course, he can't list them all. There's too many. So he just mentions a few. He says he forgives all your iniquities. And he heals how many? All your diseases. Say all diseases. He's a God of all. When God sent Jesus to the cross, it's like Calvin said this morning, God didn't say, "Oh my goodness, there's a crisis there. We didn't include that one. We're going to have to work this one out." Now, everything was already planned. God already looked. See, God, we walk in our life this way. We are walking through our lives into things and so forth. But God comes from the other end. He comes towards you out of what has already been, because he lives in eternity. There are no surprises for him. And so as I put my faith in God, he brings to me the answer out of what I haven't yet experienced. Does that make any sense? I live right now and I look into situations and, "Oh no, how am I going to get over this?" God says, "I'm already on the other side of this. I know how I'm going to fix this because I've already provided for you the solution. I've already got the answer for you. Trust me. Take my word. Believe me for it. And you'll come out the other end just the way I planned it for you." Now that is a wonderful covenant that God's made with you. You know, if there's one thing that I feel very strong for this year, is that there are some very definite things that God has planned. And that gives me a really solemn feeling that, you know, we're just not begging God to kind of bail us out and asking, "Oh God, can you do this and that?" No, God says, "Look, I've got some things in mind. There's some things that I've planned for you. There's some things that I organized for you." You know, I notice some people that think, "Well, a new year, what's really the big deal? It's just another day, really." But that's not so. God is a God of seasons. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. God's the one who made time. He planned the days, as I shared with you earlier this morning. He has organized, the seasons of life. He planned this whole idea of seed time and harvest time. Jesus said to the disciples, "It's not for you to know the times and seasons that God has put in his own authority." There are certain things that are in God's control. I understand that. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that we just live without understanding. Jesus rebuked the people, the religious leaders in his day, for not recognizing the times, for not recognizing the season and his coming. He rebuked them for it. He said, "You hypocrites." That's a very strong statement. He says, "You know by the clouds what weather it'll be. You can predict natural times by the circumstances. How is it that you could not recognize my coming?" Now, if Jesus would give such a strong rebuke, it obviously was possible for them to know. But because of their hardness of heart, they missed out. I believe the only thing that stops you and I from receiving what God has and to recognize the time in which we are is to have a heart that's soft before it. To say, "Lord, I believe that you have great things in store for me. I am not going to look back on the last year. I'm not going to dwell on the terrible things that have happened and the disappointments that I've suffered. And I'm not going to have a complaining attitude about it. I'm going to embrace that this is a new day. This is a new year. And I can let go of what was yesterday. And I can believe that old things have passed away and all things have become new." Now, I believe with that, the Lord is pleased. And he's saying, "All right, let's go. Let's go to that new season and walk into this new year. And there's some things that I want you to know." I really felt that one of the things I wanted to do today is to have the communion, you know, as families together. If you are here by yourself without a family, when we have communion, I'm going to encourage you to to join yourself maybe to a group of other people, and to celebrate together and to covenant together that we're going to receive all that God has for us in this year. Can you say amen? You know, let me just go through a few things. When Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, it was a different message. It was a new season. Everything suddenly became accessible that wasn't before. Suddenly, any person that was sick could be healed. Now, it was God's will always for everyone to be healed, but it just was very, very difficult because it was a different time. But when Jesus came, suddenly everything became accessible because it was a new season. It was a new time. And those who recognized it, and it had nothing to do with education, had to do with faith. Those who recognized it and reached out in faith, they received what Jesus had for them, what God had for them. I believe it's like that today. I do believe that there's some things happening at the moment, and God's bringing the church into a time where He is going to more and more reveal His glory in His church. That's you. It's not the building, it's you. Interesting thing that I sort of read up on this week, and I thought it's worth mentioning. You know, you may have heard of the Bethel Church in California, and there's some unusual things that happened there. Recently, they had a glory cloud. It's on YouTube. It's kind of hard to see, but the people that were there, they recognized that it was like this colorful cloud of glory. But they found since then that this has been happening around the world in different places. People are experiencing this glory cloud coming into their midst. And then somebody actually posted this comment the other day and said this. He says that there's a verse in Scripture that says that Jesus is coming with the clouds. And he said, maybe this is actually a sign of the closeness of his coming, that we're seeing these clouds. He's coming with the clouds. Now, we're thinking natural clouds, but sometimes we think we understand Scripture, but there's a little bit more in it. And so I thought it's an interesting thing that it's also a pointer to the timeline in which I think you don't need to be a theological gymnast to figure out that we're coming to the end. We know that we're coming in this time, which is the coming of the Lord. And what that means, number one, is that the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed through His church. I believe that is the greatest sign of the coming of the Lord. He's coming to come back for a church that is His bride, without spot, without blemish, without any such thing. That's a work of the Spirit. Amen. Okay, let me just bring a couple of things to you. So why is all, and when I'm speaking about all, why is everything going to be happening all at once? Well, to answer that question, come with me to Deuteronomy 28. In the covenant that God gave to the children of Israel, He spoke of the blessings. And there's something very, very interesting about the blessings of God and the way that they are pronounced. In Deuteronomy 28, it says, "It'll come to pass that if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God," so there's the conditions of the covenant, which of course in the New Testament, what is the condition of the covenant? Is it keeping commandments or is it faith? Believing the commandments. It's faith, right? This is a faith covenant. It's not based on doing good deeds. It is based on believing what Jesus has done. He's done the good deeds. You believe it, and that qualifies you to be a recipient of the new covenant. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now watch what he says here. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Isn't it in the country? Isn't it interesting? He didn't say one or the other. No, he says one and the other. You'll be blessed in the city and in the country. Now let's see if that continues. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, And, everyone say and. And the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. So it's both again. It's all. The blessings is all, everything, all the time. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and they'll flee before you seven ways. Then he says, the Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses and what? And in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land of which the Lord your God, is giving you. So we see that the way that the blessings of God operate, it always includes everything. All. And the new covenant is the revelation of all that Jesus has done so that you can inherit all. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Because I believe we could be kind of a little bit lackadaisical about this and miss out on what God wants to do. Do you remember the story? I believe it's 2 Kings chapter 7, where there is a situation in the city of Samaria. They are besieged by the Syrian army, and things get really dire to the point where they're selling little cups of dove dung for lots of money or a donkey's head. There's even talk about people eating their children. You know, when that starts happening, things are really bad. The word of the Lord comes and says, within 24 hours, tomorrow about this time, this is what's going to happen. And he begins to explain that there's going to be such an abundance that's going to come to them that will in one moment wipe out all of this terrible situation of lack and starvation. Now, it's the word of the Lord. The man who is called the officer of the king, it says that the king's hand rested on him. So in other words, he's like the PA, so to speak, to the king. He hears this and says, that could never be. What's that? That's unbelief. Elisha says, okay, this is what will happen. You'll see it, but you won't have it. Isn't that interesting? Did he stop what God wanted to do? No. But he disqualified himself from what God wanted to do for him also. The man is trampled in the gate when all the people hear about the great abundance because of the Syrian army that God's defeated. They go out, they run out of the gate. He's standing in the gate. He is trampled. He never gets to partake of the blessing that's there. And I want to give that as a word of admonition. Don't disqualify yourself by saying, we'll see what happens. Reach in and say to yourself, you know what? I believe that this is a year of all for me. That I'm going to see all of my children serving God today, not just some. I'm going to see all of my needs met, not just some. I'm going to see every disease put under my feet in Jesus' name, not just some. A year of total breakthrough, a year of complete victory, a year in which God is going to complete things that He has begun for you. I was doing a little bit of study and looking at what other people were saying. Of course, I got a hold of the latest magazine of Brother Jerry. We haven't got it on the table yet, but I believe it'll be here next week. And he spoke some things. This is after the Lord really spoken to me about this year. And it really is the same message. It's just slightly different wording. This is what the Lord spoke to Brother Jerry in October 2011 about this year, 2012. He says, 2012 will be a year of fulfillment. A year of the highest of expectation to be fulfilled. He said the Holy Spirit spoke these exact words to him. A year of the highest of expectations to be fulfilled. It's a year of fulfillment. It is a year of completion. It is a year where God says, I'm going to do it all. The number 12 in Scripture, Brother Jerry says, points to fulfillment or completion of something desired or promised. It's also the number of divine government, 12. It's showing that God's rule is coming into our lives in every area. Divine government, God's will, completely experienced by his subjects. It's a year, he says, in which goals, dreams, and visions will be fulfilled. Wow. And his admonition is to list three of your highest expectations. I believe that is important. I believe if you have nothing to expect, it's hard for you to see it fulfilled. You may have heard the statement, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it. Amen. And so it's important that we do have some desires. Don't just walk into this year and say, well, we'll see what happens. No, have some definites. Amen. You may have to go home today and say, you know what? I'm going to have to sit down and sit before the Lord maybe sometime this week and get some definites. The Holy Spirit will highlight some things to you that he wants to do in your life this year. Some things that he wants to bring to completion. Some things that he wants to fulfill. I was listening also to Bill Johnson this week. He said similar things as well. He spoke about that he felt that this is a year in which God is going to reveal, or bring into manifestation things that we have been dreaming about. It's a message, obviously, that God's bringing to his body in different ways, but the message, the content is the same. He wants you to expect for him to do those things that have seemed out of reach this year. And I believe it. I believe it is definitely so. There's some things that I have in my heart. And, you know, I do believe that there may be some things that there'll be some days when I'm just fasting. And I'm just going to set some time aside, not because I'm going to go on hunger strike before God, but simply because to get into a place where I can just fine-tune my spiritual ears to hear what God's saying. What's my part? We are called to be co-laborers together with him. That means God is going to have you walk with him, and there's some things that he'll ask you to do. And as you do them, you're going to receive what God intended for you to have. Can you say amen? All right then. We're going to just come to the end of this, and I'm going to give you a moment to go and collect your children. Just a couple of more things that I want to read to you. In Ruth chapter 1, I believe it's verse 21, I can't find the scripture right now, but I think it's right. When Naomi came back from the land of Moab, Ruth followed her daughter-in-law. They had both lost their husbands. And it's interesting that this is what Naomi said to the people in Bethlehem, which was her hometown. She said, I went out full and I've come back empty. She said, no longer call me Naomi. Now, was she really telling the truth? No, she was not. It looked in the natural as if she was telling the truth, but the reality was that this little lady that she had brought with her, a Gentile lady, a Gentile woman, was in fact her point of contact for total restoration. Did you know that within one season, the season of harvest, God restored everything to Naomi that she'd lost because of what God did in the life of Ruth? It's amazing that it only took one season. When you read the book of Ruth, you realize that everything that happens there happens during time of harvest. Boaz, who became the kinsman redeemer, God used him to restore all that she'd lost. Her wealth, her prosperity, her offspring, everything that had gone, that was taken from her, God restored it through Ruth's life. You may look in your natural circumstances right now and think, well, you know, how's it going to happen? I've lost everything. I have had such a terrible time. Last year was bad. The last couple of years haven't been good. I feel destitute. I feel I've lost so much. Don't say that. Because what you cannot see is that God has, even in your present circumstances, people and situations and circumstances already there, and through them he's going to bring complete restoration. And it's not going to take a long time. Are you excited about this? Amen. I'm going to let you, those of you that need to, you can go collect your children, and then we're going to make ourselves ready for the communion table. Amen. While it's happening, I'm just going to read you just one more passage of Scripture. In John chapter 2, we see that Jesus came to the wedding feast of Cana. It says, when the master of the feast had tasted the water, this is in verse 9, he had tasted the water that was made wine, and he didn't know where it came from, and I love this, it says, but the servants that had drawn the water, they knew. You know, people around you may not realize this year that some of the things that are happening, they may not realize where it's coming from, but you know where it's coming from because God planned this year. You know that there's an anointing right now that is for restoration of all things. You know where it's coming from because God's already announced it to you. So the master of the feast called to the bridegroom and he said, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You, however, have kept the good wine until now. So what God is doing now has been in the making for about 100 years. You know that over these past 100 years, God has actually been bringing his church to a place where he's really able to turn up the heat and pour out his power in an unprecedented way. What I really believe and what I see God's doing is that many of the moves that we've had previously, whether it's the Azusa Street revival at the start of the 20th century, or whether it is the healing revival that happened in the 50s, and then of course we had a real word revival in the 80s and so forth, and other things that have happened since then, I believe that God's bringing all of those things together in this move. It's not going to be a one or the other. It's going to be healing miracles and manifestations of the Spirit. It's going to be abundance and prosperity and the joy of the Lord visiting us. Amen? It's going to be the glory of the Lord being revealed and souls being saved into the kingdom of God. Amen? A season in which all these things are coming together because God has been moving and has been preparing his church for such a time as this. I tell you, church, this is a good time to be alive. This is not a time to sorrow. This is a time...